Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelly and I am the host for this podcast. I am super glad that you've joined me. I have Kelly Howard on today. Kelly is the creator of the Fit is Freedom Experience. Pop down to the show notes and you can read more of her bio and also find her links to everything she's doing from podcasts to courses and events. On the podcast today with Kelly, we talk about what is fitness freedom and why women over 50 are so good at adventures, lifestyle changes, and achieving fitness goals. And another thing we talked about, which is really important, is that fitness does not have to be putting in reps at the weight machine or miles on cardio. There are other ways to stay fit, and Kelly talks about adventuresome ways to do that. Before I get on to my episode with Kelly, I want to let you know we have a Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. The link is down below in the show notes. Come check us out. There are 6,500 women in that group. Okay, friends, on to my conversation with Kelly. So, hey, Kelly, I am so glad you have joined me here this morning on the podcast. And as I was saying earlier, you look so pretty in pink today.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Most of my friends would be like, she's wearing pink.
No, you look fabulous. So, Kelly, if you don't mind, just briefly telling the listeners, you know, who you are, what you do, and we'll just go from there.
Sure, of course. What I do is I love working with exceptional women to help them put their fitness first so that they can live a life that is free and exciting and fun and that they feel good all the time. When they wake up, they're excited. And that's my mission. It always has been. It looks different over the years. I've had a couple of other businesses and one of them was like this big outdoor activity club, which was a ton of fun. And I found that my job was always to make sure that the women were not just enjoying it, but really thriving. So that's what I've been doing the last 20 years.
We were talking earlier, and we don't have to talk about this, but I want the audience to know because I want them to go to your website and read your story. But you did have a job for 6 months as the chief love officer at True.com. And then you were fired because apparently you like to tell the boss how to run the company. And I'm just like, you go, sister. Seriously.
Yeah, it was so funny. Everybody's like, well, you know, you should be quiet. And I'm like, no, this is all wrong.
you're my Shiro. So I've got a lot of questions for you, but about fitness freedom and stuff. But one of the things I would love to chat briefly about, because I think it would really resonate with the audience, is on your website, you tell a story about how you had major burnout. You woke up one morning, you couldn't move. So what did that look like for you? And then what lesson did you take from that experience?
Sure. So the way it looked was, I was just turning 50, maybe 51, somewhere right in there. And I had this base of fitness that allowed me to get away with sitting on my back end all week long in front of a computer and then going out on the weekends and playing super hard, leading the adventure club, right? So I was what they would call a weekend warrior. Add to that the fact that we had bought a house, I was teaching or I was being the general contractor for it. So I'm sitting at like literally at a door between a couple of filing cabinets on an old chair working. My mother falls and you know the story, she falls and now it's, she had a heart attack. And so I'm her caretaker. And you know, it was just like one thing piled on top of the other and everyone goes through it, right? Mm-hmm. It happens to everyone. The way it affected me was I woke up one morning and I couldn't move. I was in so much pain. Like it was outrageous. And I'd heard of people, this happening to people, but I always thought, you know, like you hear somebody say, I reached down and put soap in the shower and I couldn't move. And you kind of like snicker. Sorry, I did. I used to snicker. No, I don't snicker anymore. It's real.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of horrific. It took me maybe 3 or 4 days to get back to my usual self.
Oh, wow.
And of course, my usual self immediately was the all work, no play, except on the weekend person, but it nagged at me. That is actually where this whole Fit is Freedom program came from, because I started realizing when I was looking around, all my friends were doing the same thing. Like, we were all doing the same thing. We're doing all the stuff, pushing it. You too, right? I mean, just pushing, 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 and thinking that at some point, our bodies were going to stay together perfectly well until we had time for them. And it's not truth.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for sharing that. I really, really appreciate that. So as someone who is an ex-fitness sort of person, I'm really super interested in this conversation with you. So what is fitness freedom exactly?
To me, it is the ability to do the things that you want to do. We have been taught in our generation that fitness was really like how you look, right?
Oh, good point.
It's looking sexy. It's fitting into those jeans. It's all about this number on the scale and how you look. And I'm not saying that how you look isn't important, because I don't think we ever get past that. But, and I don't think we have to get past it, but I think that what we need to do is embrace the fact that we have these magnificent bodies that can do all kinds of things. And all we have to do is give them a chance, give them a little love, give them the, you know, whatever it is they need, the right food, the right exercise, the right movement, whatever. And then we can be like, we can live these incredible lives. As an aside, but it is still the same thing. I just led a trip over in the Smoky Mountains. And it was kind of an impromptu thing. I hadn't really planned on it, but my alumni, we were talking and I said, you know, let's go for it. Let's go on this trip, right? And it was going to be a hard trip. Like, we had some serious hiking planned. And I knew, and we can talk about this if you want to, because I believe that having something to plan for is good. But one of the ladies, she said, I'm 62 years old. I have never in my life considered doing an adventure. I thought that it was so far past my ability. And now I'm doing things I never thought I could do. My kids are looking at me going, Mom, who are you? And she said, I'm like, literally, I hope I can say this, kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And just a few months before, she was thinking that I was crazy to tell her she could do this.
Yeah, that's awesome. As you were talking, I was flashing on my fitness experiences, and this may lead into, you know, what you want to talk about with planning adventure or fitness or whatever, but here's how I operate with my fitness, Kelly, and you can chastise me or give me tips or whatever.
But, no chastising ever.
No chastising. Good. I have done some pretty physical things. Like, I 14ers out in Colorado. I run half marathons all after 50. And then I quit doing that. And now I think that my fitness has to be like that. Like, it has to be these big, grand, hard things. Like, I just can't go out and go for a slog without thinking to myself, you ran 13 miles once. What do you mean you can't run a mile now? You know what? Does that make sense?
Ooh, yeah. In fact, that is so perfect with something that I just wrote this week about changing your rules.
Oh, well, I love that, because I love to move, but I have to realize it's not that I can't move. I can't. I mean, I could definitely go out and train. And I'm not saying just because I'm almost 60, I can't run a half marathon. I can, but I need to get past the thought that that's all I have to do. I can just go out and do a 30-minute slog, a slow jog. It's my slog, and, you know, and it'd be 2.5 miles and it's fine.
Well, okay. Here's a story. For years, like years, let's call it 30 years, I have had one of those little, you know, those little bumper stickers, the round ones that say like 13.5 or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
25K. That's my thing.
Yeah.
I have wanted to run a 25K. And when I run, I get injured. Like, something about it, doesn't matter how much I've done over the years to try and fix this, I always hurt really bad after I run. So just recently, I was talking to a friend and she was talking about how she does 25Ks, but she walks them fast. And I'm like, what? Is that real? Right? Because in my head, I'm thinking that's cheating.
It is real, because on that first half I saw there was a power walking.
Exactly. Right? So all of a sudden I went, I can change my rules. And I did. I signed up for a 25K. I'm training and doing the, you know, doing the fast walk. I can do that physically.
I love it.
Pardon?
I love it.
Yeah. And I understand, like, when you've done a 14er, and someone says, hey, you want to go up to, you know, the top of Yosemite Falls and it's 6,000, you're like, been there, done that. But the truth is that it's just different, right? It's looking for different ways of looking at what it is that you do. And if you don't mind, I said I don't chastise, but I have to say one thing. Slogging? That sounds terrible. You don't slog. You're a runner.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's slogging's more like a joke, like a slow jog, because
right. No, but
you're
right.
You're right. It's a belief that I've set in my head that if I don't run a 9-minute mile, I am not a runner. I'm just someone who slowly jogs, you know, and it's not true.
It's not true. It's not true. And you know, it's the funny
and
thing.
And all people should know better than that.
Right. We should. I should, right? Like we should all day long, but yeah, it's not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to stop. We can't shit on ourselves all day. Oh, I like your coffee mug, tea mug. So let's quit talking about me and my bad ways. But so for women over 50, I really think that prioritizing their fitness is a really good thing to do. But just like everything else in our lives, we don't ever see anything that we need to do as a priority. We always have to put that on the back burner. And then much like your story you just told, you end up with major burnout.
Yeah. You know, we do. And it goes back to that whole idea that our bodies can do like all kinds of things. Like we can get away with a lot of stuff for a long time. And if we prioritize our fitness, right? And people think this is selfish when I say, you know what? Your workout comes before whatever it is, whether it's your business or your, you know, family or whatever, your workout should come first. And people are like, oh my goodness, like sacrilege, right? But it's not, because if you can't take care of yourself, if you don't feel good, if you aren't, you know, in that good headspace, then you're no good to whether it's your business or your family or your grandkids or your kids. You just know you're not helpful.
Yeah.
Right.
Beyond that, why is fitness for women, well, all women, but we're talking about women over 50 in their 60s and 70s. Why is it important that physically that we stay fit?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So one of my alumni, I'm interviewing her on my podcast, and I had completely forgotten this until she said it. She said, well, you know, I came here because I hurt all over, and I had forgotten, right? She's been with me, I don't know, call it a year. And she's right. Like back in the day when she first started, she was hurting. Like she hurt in her shoulders, she hurt in her joint, everything hurt, right? And when she told me that, when we first started, I'm like, well, you're just not moving enough. She's like, I'm afraid to move. I'm like, well, let's get past that, right? Let's get past that. And we're not going to start big, because I think a lot of us have gone to a gym, worked out with that, you know, 20-year-old male trainer at the gym, gotten injured, and then thought that movement equals injury, right? But in fact, it's just the opposite, because once we got her moving in ways that really work, then now nothing hurts, right? And not only does nothing hurt, now she's able to do all the things that she's always wanted to do. She feels more confident. And I'm just talking about this specific person, but it matters for all of us, right? Because it doesn't take that much. Like it really doesn't take that much. With her, it took changing things a little bit, changing a little mindset, because actually she was raised in Texas in the South, believing that you shouldn't sweat, right? Unattractive.
That'd be nice.
It was unattractive to sweat.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, it is all these little teeny weeny things, teeny weeny steps that when you figure out that movement is the domino that's going to make everything better, then it gets easier. And did I answer your question or did
you
I
did.
Just like go
No,
wild?
You did. Absolutely. And I think too that, you know, the especially for if we're still sitting behind a desk or taking care of parents and kids, which a lot of women and my listeners and women in my group are actually doing, or the sandwich people, I think it's important that they understand that it also it's not just mentally good for you, but it's physically good for you. But let's talk about movement. A lot of people think that just what you said, that, you know, movement, being fit consists of going to a gym and lifting all the weights you could possibly lift, or going out and running for 30 minutes your first time out, when they don't understand that just starting even with a 10-minute walk is going to benefit you, and you're just going to start, you know, walking further, walking faster or whatever. But movement doesn't have to mean like this big, extravagant, you know,
no,
go big or go home kind of thing.
You're right. And that is, that's another
And it doesn't
fallacy.
Have to be like running or, I mean, it could be yoga or dancing or swimming or.
I think the best thing is, and you said it, is that you start small and you start with something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Because if it's not fun, it is not sustainable at all. And we have, like, it goes back to, you know, all these beliefs that we get layered onto. And our belief is, you know, movement is just a certain thing. And movement can be all kinds of things. I'm not a dancer, but I have people in my group who just, like, all they do is dance. That's what they like to do. I'm not a fitness trainer. So I'm not like, this is how you do this. I like to listen to what people like and then help them find things that are going to work. It's really intriguing because when people find the thing that lights them up, then it's no longer a requirement, it's a desire. And when it's in a desire, then everything shifts.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and finding that thing that really, like you said, lights you up, I think is whether it's, you know, fitness or the adventures, which we're going to talk about here in a second. I've tried lots of things. I've tried yoga. I've tried kickboxing. I've tried swimming. I mean, I've tried all sorts of things, but I always go back to running. It's like, I always say, you know, I can't quit you running. It's like this thing that I, no matter what I try. And so I stick to that because I enjoy doing that, you know,
yeah.
And some people are like running. Ugh. I'm like, well, don't run then. No one's telling you have to run. You know?
Right. It's true.
Go try kickboxing or whatever.
Yeah. You know? No, it's everything is different mm-hmm. for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you talk about adventures, which, you know, your adventure club and leading women on adventures, what is that? What does that look like? What is that exactly?
Well, it's a couple of things. One thing is that I think that we really need things to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we have something to look forward to, then life is more fun. We are more motivated. We're more driven. And a lot of times, the need of what we call motivation. Motivation is, yeah, I mean, motivation is important and it's not important at the same time, right? But if we don't have a reason, a why, then a lot of times it's like, yeah, whatever. I mean, and that why could be, I want to be able to take my grandkids camping, right? Mm-hmm. Or I want to be able to go play with my grandkids or take them to Disney. Like, there's all kinds of whys. It doesn't mean that you've got to go, you know, hike the Appalachian Trail for 6 months. Like,
no.
Everyone has a, if you have a why, it's easier. It's also easier, like if you have, for me, I love working with women who have like the secret desire for something a little different, okay? And that's what to me adventure is. It's something a little different. It's not the same old, and it doesn't have to be like anything massive, but it could be, someone said the other day, wow, they sent me a video and it was someone kayaking and there was a whale, a big whale next to him, right? And they're like, this is amazing. It's like, does that get you excited? And she said, absolutely. I said,
cool.
Well, let's talk about kayaking, cool. Right? Like,
yeah.
Adventure is whatever is going to make you sit up, lean forward, eyes get a little brighter, and it doesn't have to be massive, but it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the key too is just trying different things as well, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's, this, I'm going to go off on a little tangent here.
You just change away.
One of the things that I think everyone I've ever worked with has said is that I don't want to be that person who holds everyone back. It's a fear, right? It's a fear that we have. And it's a fear that, who knows, maybe it's female, maybe it's women our age, who knows what it is, but it is truly something that's ingrained in us. And so if we can get past that to the point where we say something like, you know what, it's not so much if I hold people back, it's that I want to go do things that matter to me. And it's good to have a tribe, or it's good to have people that aren't going to worry about whether or not I'm holding them back. And better yet, it's good to do a little bit of training so that you don't, so that fear goes away. Because when that fear goes away, oh man, we can do anything. And our bodies, like, we can do anything. People say, oh, I'm too old for that, whatever that is. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. You just maybe can't go as hard.
Yeah.
Right?
I love what you said, you know, do what matters to you.
Yeah.
I love that. And I also loved talking about your why, because when you really zone in on it, it's what people would think were the seemingly small thing, but they're mm-hmm. really huge. Like,
You're right.
I have seven grandkids. I forget. I just got a new one. But that is a big thing to be able to, you know, run around or after your five-year-old grandkid or whatever. So those are big whys. Those aren't small whys at all.
So, no, they aren't. They're the whys that matter.
Exactly. So I'm so glad you said that. Thank you for saying that. And one thing that you mentioned in your email to me was that women over 50 really are the best at doing these things, even though sometimes we think,
absolutely,
I can't because, or I'm too old or whatever. But what have you seen working with women over 50 that makes us this really great group of women to go out and take charge of our adventures?
Well, I can show it to you two ways. One way is that in the past, when I had this company, what I noticed was the members were, as I aged, the members became more my age, right? So I would have an event where someone 20 would show up and you could just see it in their face. They're like, oh man, I don't want to go rock climbing with my mom, right? Like it was a done deal. So I asked a friend if she wanted to do the exact same thing, exact same business as what I had, but go after those younger people, right? Good business model, works great. And a lot of the group, my group, were like, oh, they're going to be so fast. I can't go on any of their stuff. We won't be able to keep up. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Let's take them with us somewhere. And they were all, and I mean, not to trash talk them, but they were all so much slower than us, so much less confident than us, so much, they just didn't have the ability to have the stamina and to do the things and the belief that they could. So that's that side of it. The other side of it is that, I mean, all the women I work with, it's not purposely, but they're 50 plus, right? I think one lady I work with is 48. And what I see is that they can get better at whatever it is they want in leaps and bounds because they have life, right? They have that foundation. And by having that foundation of life, they get it. Like they get that if they want to do this, they need to maybe work a little harder. And they see really quick that they can hold out and they can do the things that they want to do because they're tougher, right? I think we are. I think we're tougher. And so that, I think that's where a lot of that stamina comes from.
Yeah, that's an amazing perspective. And I hope that the listeners will take that away and think about all we have done up to this point.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And how we can utilize that to have new adventures and whatever we seek. So that's a really, really good perspective. And, you know, for me, it's come to the point where I just don't really give a shit what other people think, you know? Yeah. So like I go out running in things that in my 20s, I never would have been caught dead in. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I just go out and I just do it, you know, because I don't care.
Yeah.
It's more about what I want. And like you said earlier, what matters to me than what
exactly
other people think I should be looking like when I'm out running.
Exactly. It is what matters to you.
Yeah. We're almost up with our time allotment here. So before we go, what would be your parting words of wisdom for people listening in terms of seeking fitness adventures, and just getting started in that?
Okay. Let me think about this for just a second. I would say that it would be to dream big. Okay. Dream big. Think of something that you've always wanted to do, something that like is kind of out there on the edge, but it's like, wow, that would be cool. So dream big and then start small.
Mm.
Like don't start with training for the marathon. Start with, you know, going out and doing the 30-minute walk or the 10-minute walk, right? I mean, it's allowing yourself to start small that's going to get you where you need to go. Know that movement will get rid of pain almost always. Like, you know, and I'm not a doctor. There are no letters behind my name, but I've seen it time and time and time again. And find things that you like. And if you don't know what you like, just try different things. Just try something new and try it small and have fun. Because if it's not fun, it is not sustainable.
Yeah, those are great. And just to elaborate on those, you know, what we said earlier about trying new things, because it's always like your mom said, how do you know you don't like it? You've never tried it. And the thing about trying, Kelly, is you don't have to continue with it. Like I hated kickboxing.
That's exactly right.
I hated it.
Yeah, there are lots of things. Like this week, I had this new course, fitness course, this girl teaches, and she's just the cutest little thing. And so I was like, sure, I'll sign up for it and I'll give it a go. I quite frankly didn't like it. And I kept forcing myself. And then I'm like, wait a second, what are you doing? You're not having fun. Stop. Go back to something that you enjoy.
Yeah. Because we have spent a lifetime doing things we don't really want to do.
Boy, that's true.
So now it's time to start doing things that we want to do. And you know, when I did that first half marathon when I was 52, I think, or something, people were like, I don't know what they thought. I just woke up on Saturday morning and decided to go run 13.1 miles. I mean, people would ask these ridiculous questions. I'd be like, oh yeah, I just decided to run a half marathon today. They're like, really? And I'm like, no, not really. I started out by not barely being able to walk a block, you know, and then you just,
wow.
But it was this, with the things that the fitness things that I've done, it was just this purpose that I really wanted to accomplish these. So if you start small, first of all, you run less risk of injury and just quitting because it's too hard. Well, yeah, it's going to be hard if you've been a couch potato for 20 years and all of a sudden you decide you're going to go to the gym 5 days a week. It will be hard.
It will be hard, you know? And you're probably going to stop.
Yeah. So your words of wisdom, first dream big. What do you want to do? What appeals to you? And then start small. So we will end on that note. Thanks, Kelly, so much. What a delightful conversation with you. I really appreciated it. All right.
Thank you so much.